it's Red Eye Radio, with talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Dan Mandis, this is Red Eye Radio.
You can find out more about me on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page. I'm actually on all the socials at Dan Mandis Show, shadow banned and all. I also host a morning show in Nashville, Tennessee on Super Talk 99.7 WTN. Morning 6 to 10, you can find it at 99.7WTN.com. A couple of real quick updates on the shooting in Chicago. Earlier, we were reporting to you the guy supposedly was a Trump supporter. We'll have to monitor that. You know, the media is going to be all over that today. Apparently now we're also finding out that he was known to local police. Now, the question is, how much did the police know and could they have prevented this from happening? For example, did the police know? And please understand, I'm not second guessing the cops by any stretch of the imagination. More on that in a second. But we do know that this guy was a rapper, a hip hop artist, put that in air quotes, of some sort. And that he had videos that were basically telegraphing what he wanted to do. And so the question is, should the police, if this stuff is out there and he was, should they have seen this coming? And tragically, the youngest victim in Highland Park, 8 years old. Now, let's talk a little bit about whether or not the police should have known what this guy was going to do. In fairness to the cops, I mean, do you know what kind of debauchery is out there? Do you know what kind of absolute sickness and mental illness is out there? I mean, you're trying to figure out which of the probably hundreds of whack jobs in your town is actually going to be the one that does pull the trigger and carries out a mass shooting. See, that's the problem. The problem is because of the mental illness in this country, and most certainly the mental illness going on in Illinois, in the greater Chicagoland area, that you've got all kinds of people that are posting videos and posting rants online and, you know, rapping and hip-hopping and so forth and, you know, singing, if that's what you want to call it, singing about, you know, gun violence and gang violence and shooting people and shooting cops and, you know, this, that, and the other. And so how are the police possibly supposed to know which one of these, you know, brain dead morons is the one that's actually going to pull the trigger? Because I fear that the police, you know, they were roundly and they should have been criticized in Uvalde. But in the case of Chicago, we'll have to wait and see how much they knew when. But the problem is that this guy, he's not unique, folks. I mean, he's not. You can look him up for yourself. I'm not saying his name because I don't want to give him the notoriety. But, I mean, you look him up and, you know, there's a ton of guys just like him in every single city in America. That tells you that we have a mental illness problem in this country, not a gun problem. We have a problem with mentally ill people getting guns, and that's what we need to prevent. But the more we see of these things, I hate to say it, the more, because one of the things this guy has said online is that he was an admirer of the Uvalde shooter. See, that's what happens. Is that you've got these guys and they sort of feed off of each other. And that to me is obviously a sign of mental illness. Now, moving on from there, some other stories that I want to get to. One of the things, you know, I know that Gary and Eric, they talk about the January 6th committee, the select committee. Donald Trump likes to call them the unselect committee. And I agree. I think that this whole thing is nothing but a one-sided propaganda machine. And they're trying to hang Donald Trump over the fact that he tried to undo the election. He tried to overthrow, put this in air quotes. I know that we're a republic, but he wanted to overthrow democracy. You know, all of the usual talking points. I have posted a great video, and it's on the Dan Mandis Show Facebook page. You can, you know, scroll down, if you will, a few posts, but it is 10 minutes, 10 minutes of Democrats and high profile Democrats at that. And they are denying that Donald Trump actually won the election.
You can run the best campaign. You can even become the nominee, and you can have the election stolen from you.
That is, of course, Hillary Clinton, and she is one of, I mean, dozens and dozens of Democrats, again, high-profile Democrats, who said that Donald Trump stole the election in 2016.
I have an objection.
I object to the 15 votes from the state of North Carolina.
I object because people are horrified.
He's an illegitimate president.
Do you believe Trump is a legitimate president?
What I believe is that there's no question that the outcome of this election was affected by the Russian interference.
So you have 10 plus minutes of, you know, all these Democrats saying, including Hillary Clinton, Bill Clinton, Stacey Abrams, and the rest of them. And what were they saying in 2016? That Donald Trump was an illegitimate president and the rest of it. The reason why I'm playing this is because no doubt today, when you turn on CNN, when you turn on MSNBC, when you turn on the networks, they're going to be talking about what Donald Trump said. Nobody wants to talk about what the Democrats were doing in 2016. Nobody.
You refuse to concede and say that you lost. Do you stand by that decision today?
Absolutely. The election was not fair. The Stacey process Abrams. Was not fair.
If Stacey Abrams doesn't win in Georgia, they stole it. It's clear. It's clear.
I think that Stacey Abrams' election is being stolen from her.
It was not a free and fair election.
Brian Kemp stole the gubernatorial election from Georgians and Stacey Abrams.
But will I say that this election was not tainted, was not a disinvestment and a disenfranchisement of thousands of voters? I will not say that.
Yeah, I mean, you've got even Joe Biden and Kamala Harris in this video as well. And it's all the same familiar talking points that we all were talking about in 2016.
That's the real
thing. That's what I'm scared about in 2020.
But rightly.
Because I think he's an illegitimate president that didn't really win. So how do you, you know, fight against that in 2020?
You are absolutely right.
He's an illegitimate president in my mind.
Would you be my vice presidential candidate?
Folks, look, I absolutely agree.
Trump didn't actually win the election in 2016. He lost the election.
So I'm a little confused. Was it the Democrats and the Democrat Party who were trying to overthrow democracy and the rest of it back in 2016? Or was it Donald Trump in 2020? Just the News has a little bit of a retrospective on all of this. In 2016, Hillary Clinton's campaign and leading Democrats sought to taint Donald Trump's win in a more conventional electoral process by promoting the since debunked Trump-Russia collusion theory in a bid to persuade electors to change their votes from Trump to another candidate. Maxine Waters was in there as well. I think Adam Schiff, too. Phil Klein, they quote Phil Klein, director of the Armistead Project, telling Just the News that, quote, leftist groups tried to stop electors from voting for Trump through protests, calls to change electoral votes, and requesting a Trump-Russia collusion update in a, quote, coordinated and concentrated effort to interfere with, delay, or alter the Electoral College vote. When that vote would be cast, and then Trump would be inaugurated. So as everyone is hyper-focused on January 6th, nobody wants to talk about what happened in 2016. House Speaker Nancy Pelosi's daughter, Christine Pelosi, who was an elector in 2016, was one of the 80, put this in air quotes, Hamilton electors, all but one of whom were Democrats, who led an effort to receive a briefing on the Trump-Russia collusion investigation prior to the Electoral College vote. They named themselves after founder Alexander Hamilton's Federalist Paper number 68, which notes that the Electoral College is designed to prevent, quote, a desire in foreign powers to gain an improper ascendant in our councils. But the bottom line is, this is what they were doing in 2016. And so you have all of these Democrats that are so piously talking about how Donald Trump was trying to overthrow democracy, when my question is this: what were they doing in 2016? But see, it didn't stop with Donald Trump in 2016. All that nonsense went all the way through the first 2 years of Donald Trump's presidency, where the accusations of Russian collusion never ended. And the more the accusations, the more hamstrung Donald Trump was. And you could go down the road of Russian collusion. You could go down the road of, you know, the ridiculous impeachment attempt. Well, they did impeach him. He escaped it in the Senate. But the impeachment of Donald Trump over the Ukraine phone call, I mean, I could go on and on. And so you really want to talk about overthrowing democracy? I know it's Republic. You really want to talk about overthrowing democracy? Let's talk about the Democrats in 2016. Because that is clearly what was going on. Oh, by the way, this is fascinating. So we're heading into, well, we just wrapped up with a 3-day weekend, right? So it looks like both sides now agree that COVID actually came from Wuhan, China. Now, the Republicans have always known that. I think that the Republicans have pretty much known that since pretty much day one, right? And we were called conspiracy theorists. We were called every name in the book. Well, here's a headline for you. Congress, including a whole bunch of Democrats, quietly banned federal funds from going to labs in China and Russia and Iran. We'll talk about that straight ahead on Red Eye Radio.
With diesel fuel at $5 per gallon in some places, it can really take a toll on your bottom line every time you fill up. To combat these prices, use a high-quality fuel additive that can not only improve your fuel economy on average to more than pay for the product, but also protect your truck. Look for a fuel additive that is fully formulated, like Hotshot's Secret Everyday Diesel Treatment. This 6-in-1 treatment turns your standard pump diesel into premium diesel by increasing cetane, lubricity, cleans fuel injectors, protects against moisture, and more. All of these benefits will increase your performance, increasing fuel economy, so that the savings will not only pay for the cost of the product, but also keep more money in your pocket. Hotshot's Secret EDT will increase fuel economy up to 3%. That's an extra 45 miles per tank, $37 worth of diesel, and a savings of 2 cents every mile on average. Protect your bottom line, protect your truck, and stay on the road with a premium diesel treatment like Hotshot's Secret Everyday Diesel Treatment.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. Going to get to that Wuhan story in a second. Want to say hello to Bruce, though. He's been hanging on. Bruce, thanks for calling Red Eye Radio.
Thank you. Yes, I was calling to point out on that 2A, even if they backed up to them, the muskets at the time were state-of-the-art. So at that rate, I mean, we should be able to have the state-of-the-art weaponry of today.
Well, that's exactly, Bruce, thank you. Great minds think alike. That's what I was saying earlier, right? You're absolutely correct.
Yeah.
All right, man. Well, have a great night. I appreciate it. Great minds think alike, clearly. Thanks for calling. Bruce calling from Tennessee. All right, very quick. He'd been holding a while. I wanted to get to him. Now, let's talk about what Congress did over the 4th of July weekend, because I think it is so incredibly telling what they did. So we all know that if you are a conservative and you said that the coronavirus came from Wuhan lab, from the Wuhan lab in China, you were labeled, right, as a conspiracy theorist. You were labeled as all kinds of things. Well, here's the thing. You know what happened over the weekend? The Congress, including a lot of Democrats, voted to ban any funding going to Wuhan, China. Now, what does that tell you? It tells you that they finally have realized, officially realized, that the coronavirus was indeed leaked from that lab in China. And see, usually this is just one of those stories that may get hidden because of the fact that it was, a story over the long 3-day weekend. But you know what? Given the fact that we, as in conservatives, were called all kinds of names, I think that it is worthy to point out. Now, remember, on January 6th, Donald Trump and Republicans were accused of trying to overthrow democracy and the rest of it. In the previous segment, I proved to you that Democrats did the same thing en masse in 2016. What does that tell you? It tells you that they're a bunch of hypocrites. Now, after they spent, at least a year calling all of us a bunch of, tinfoil hat wearing conspiracy theorists, they now obviously agree with us, as in me, and probably a lot of you, that yes, COVID was leaked from the Chinese lab, because now they are banning federal funds from going to those labs in China and also Russia and Iran. This is from just the news. While the U.S. intelligence has been unable in 2 years to determine for sure, if COVID-19 leaked from a Chinese lab, Congress has decided it no longer wants to take the risk of funding medical research at labs controlled by Beijing or other American adversaries. Well, that makes all the sense in the world. And given the fact, and this isn't in the article that I've seen yet, but given the fact that China still won't cooperate with an investigation from the World Health Organization, tells you all you need to know about their culpability in all of this. And again, remember that this was done over the 3-day weekend, which means that the Democrats and the Republicans, but the Democrats in the House, they really wanted this to fly under the radar. Why? Because to me, it's like their official acknowledgement that those tinfoil hat wearing, conspiracy minded Republicans were right all along. With little fanfare and in bipartisan fashion, House Appropriations quietly amended the 2023 federal budget for health and science agencies on Thursday to ban any funding to the Wuhan Institute of Virology, which U.S. intelligence fears may have been the origin point for the coronavirus pandemic and other labs like it. You see, I still, to this day, believe that I'm shadow banned because of all of my social media talking about this way back when. Oh, those talk show hosts, they're just a bunch of conspiracy theorists, don't you know? No, man, we were right all along. And yet, no acknowledgement from the Democrats, no acknowledgement from social media. You know, it's just like Hunter Biden's laptop. A lot of conservatives on social media, we were called conspiracy theorists. We were told, oh, don't you know that's Russian interference? No. Do you know that I'm not going to do it now, but I could do an entire segment on things that were originally labeled as conspiracy theories when in reality they were actually true. And this is, the next one, obviously. And China doesn't help themselves at all because they simply will not cooperate with any kind of an investigation, whether it's from America or the World Health Organization. And again, I'll say it one more time. That tells you all you need to know.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, here is Dan Mandis.
Appreciate you being here. It's Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE indeed, 866-907-3339. And we're just trying to find the very latest on what is going on with the shooting in Highland Park, Illinois. It seems like overnight here in the last couple of hours, we have found out some details on what exactly happened, who the shooter is, and so forth. And one thing is abundantly clear, and that is that the media will continue to do what the media does, which is try to make this about the gun. And that is something you are going to continue to hear all day today, all across the mainstream media. There's a lot of other things, too, that are going on. I want to touch on this. I had a lot of reaction to this earlier. The president, of course, doing what he does, and I've noticed this with President Biden. Obviously, you have as well, that he likes to do everything he can to blame others for his absolute incompetence. Now, over the weekend, he tweeted this out. I believe it was Saturday. He says, my message to the companies running gasoline stations and setting prices at the pump is simple. This is a time of war and global peril, Biden tweeted on Saturday. Bring down the price you are charging at the pump to reflect the cost you're paying for the product and do it now. So that's President Biden. And one of the things that I know that Gary and Eric speak about this all the time, I do as well during my local show, morning show in Nashville, Tennessee, on Super Talk 99.7 WTN, morning 6 to 10 Central. And that is that the president is doing everything he can to blame everyone else or everything else, whether it's the oil companies, the refineries, or Vladimir Putin. And that tweet is one such example. So right now, you've got the oil companies that are pointing their fingers right at Joe Biden. Biden is pointing his finger at the oil companies and Vladimir Putin and the refineries and basically everyone else. But the reality is that decades and decades of hostility towards domestic oil production is where we are, is why where we are today. That's the bottom line. And the more that you've got the left and the Democrats doing everything that they can to obfuscate that truth, the worse they look to the American people. I mean, look, Joe Biden said it with his own mouth, with his own words during the campaign. Everybody knows what he said.
Would there be any place for fossil fuels, including coal and fracking, in a Biden administration?
No, we would work it out. We would make sure it's eliminated.
No more drilling on federal lands. No more drilling, including offshore. No ability for the oil industry to continue to drill, period.
I guarantee you we're going to end fossil fuel.
No more, no new fracking.
We are going to get rid of fossil fuels.
I've argued against any more oil drilling or gas drilling on federal lands.
No one's going to build a coal-fired plant again, and we're going to get rid of the ones we have now.
Even knowing potentially that it could displace thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of blue-collar workers, yep, in the interest of transitioning to that greener economy?
The answer is yes.
He said it. And now he's trying to hide from it. And so whether it is Energy Secretary Jennifer Granholm, whether it's President Biden, whether it's Kamala Harris, everyone knows what the Democrat Party has stood for. And so I spoke about this previously in the broadcast, and the overriding opinion is that, yes, conservatives know all too well what Joe Biden and the Democrats stand for. I mean, it was, what, last month, right? Biden's EPA carried out what they call biofuel blending mandates. And basically what it does is it punishes oil companies for not investing enough in renewable energies and will actually raise the cost of refining and distributing gasoline and diesel at a time when we, as in the American people, are having a really hard time with the cost of gasoline. And everything Biden is doing is going to force the companies to raise it even more. And by the way, it was also retroactive. Did I mention that? So that the more that Biden acts punitively against these oil companies and the refineries and so forth, the more they're going to retreat from domestic oil production and raise their prices. I mean, that's the bottom line. And the more that Biden tries to blame everyone and everything else, the more the American people realize that he's lying. All you've got to do is look at poll after poll after poll to show that the American people are not buying what Biden's trying to sell. We all know that he canceled the Keystone Pipeline. We all know about the overregulation and the rest of what we tell you day in and day out on talk radio. You know, he's always blaming Vladimir Putin. My audience in Nashville knows that I harp on this almost daily. Biden is always blaming Vladimir Putin, right? He says, well, it's Putin's price hike. You know, there was this, by the way, I'll play this to bring the point home even more. He was asked, President Biden was asked, I think it was last week, how long will the American people have to pay these exorbitant gasoline prices? This is what he said.
How long is it fair to expect American drivers and drivers around the world to pay that premium for this war?
As long as it takes. So Russia cannot, in fact, defeat Ukraine and move beyond Ukraine.
As long as it takes. Now, as you know, the president was absolutely, as he should be, vilified for that comment. So I want to make sure we have this straight. And you got to follow the bouncing ball here. So Vladimir Putin would not have invaded Ukraine if not for the epic disaster of the Joe Biden pullout of Afghanistan. I mean, every expert that I've spoken with has said that Putin and China, by the way, have been watching Joe Biden really closely. When Joe Biden completely screwed up the pullout of Afghanistan, that effectively emboldened Vladimir Putin to invade Ukraine. So now Biden is saying, well, you know, Vladimir Putin, he's invading Ukraine. He's invaded Ukraine. And as long as this war is going on, no matter how long it takes, you, the American people, are going to have to pay exorbitant amounts of money for gas. No matter how you look at it, Joe Biden and the Democrats are culpable in all of this because Biden emboldened Putin to invade Ukraine by his screw up of the withdrawal of Afghanistan. That's number one. Number two, as I've been saying for years, and a lot of Republicans have been, it's all about the hostility towards the oil and gas industry domestically. Let's not forget Jennifer Granholm when she was asked the question, what can the Biden administration do to help the American people? When will you begin to allow or become perhaps more favorable to domestic oil production?
What is the Granholm plan to increase oil production in America?
Oh my God. You laugh.
That is hilarious.
No, it's not hilarious because the American people are a little tired of paying all this money for gasoline. And realize it's not just about the gasoline. The gasoline is a main trigger for all of the other inflation that we're seeing. So we are sending billions and billions and billions of dollars to Ukraine. No accountability, by the way, for this money. I mean, it's just if we don't send billions of dollars to Ukraine and you're not supportive of it, then you are a terrible American. You're not even an American. You should be living out there in Russia with Vladimir Putin. Now, don't get me wrong. I don't want Ukraine to be beaten by Russia. I don't. But at the same time, how can we just give billions and billions and billions of dollars with absolutely no accountability for that money? We keep sending in this money and they haven't even spent the previous aid packages yet. So there's a lot going on. But when Biden said, Well, however long it takes. However long it takes. Clearly, putting Ukraine over the fate of the American people. A few weeks ago, John Perman over there at CNN was on with Jennifer Granholm, energy secretary, and he said, look, why should the oil companies or the refining companies, why should they continue to produce? Why should they continue to invest when there's all of this hostility? And he brings the point home.
Do you want international?
Do you 5 years from now, 10 years from now, are you telling me you want them drilling for more oil? You want the refineries putting out more gasoline in 5 or 10 years?
What we're saying is today we need that supply increased. Of course, in 5 or 10 years, actually in the immediate, we are also pressing on the accelerator, if you will, to move toward clean energy so that we don't have to be under the thumb of petro-dictators like Putin or at the whim of the volatility of fossil fuels. Ultimately, America will be most secure when we can rely upon our own clean domestic production of energy.
But that's the problem for these companies. These companies are saying, you know, you're asking me to do more now, invest more now, when in fact, 5 or 10 years from now, we don't think that demand will be there. And the administration doesn't even necessarily want it to be there. Just
the refining companies have come out and said, and I've talked about this incessantly, the refining companies have come out and they have literally said, we cannot invest in these refineries that are offline because it would be a huge waste of money. You've got the refineries in, I know there's one on the East Coast. I believe it's Philadelphia, one of the biggest in America, one of the biggest certainly on the East Coast. And it went down a few years ago. And because of all of this hostility, there's no reason to invest all of this money because the Democrats, you just heard Jennifer Granholm say, we want the refineries and the oil companies out of business within 5 years. And so the oil companies and the refineries, they're saying, well, then go pound sand. You're sitting here telling us that, you know, we're to blame for the problems that we're facing here in America today. No, you're the problem, Democrats, because for years and years and years and years, you've been saying that we are killing the world. Literally, we're either going to all burn in a bunch of fire or we're going to die because of all the flooding. Al Gore, the Democrats, 50, 60 years of headlines have all been saying the same damn thing. Still here. And their sky is falling narrative is also continuing, even though it has been proven to be a lie time and time and time again. 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It's Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339, NPR, National Public Radio. It is absolutely absurd that taxpayers have to pay the freight for NPR. But look at this. The headline from Mediaite, NPR breaks with the traditional July 4th reading of the Declaration of Independence and instead examines the meaning of equality. One of the things that's going on, first of all, NPR has an incredible amount of gall to basically, to me, what they're doing in saying, no, we're not going to bother to read the July 4th reading of the Declaration of Independence. No, you know why? Because we don't agree that America is a great place anymore is what, to me, they're telegraphing with NPR. Meantime, this is, you know, National Public Radio. And they get to operate with a huge, massive budget courtesy of the taxpayers of America. And they have the audacity to say, no, we're not going to read the Declaration of Independence. Instead, we're going to examine the meaning of equality on the 4th of July. unbelievable. And that's one of the things that we're seeing all across America, whether it is, you know, the uber woke left Democrats, whether it is some of these folks in Congress, whether it's these people in Hollywood. You've got all of these people that are saying, oh, there's no reason to celebrate the 4th of July. Don't you know that America sucks? Actually, no. America remains a great place just because you folks on the left don't get your way. You can't bully your way towards, you know, getting your way every single time. Doesn't mean that America is a terrible place. No. What it actually means is these folks on the left and these progressives, they understand what's going to happen in November. Conservatives are going to get back the House. Conservatives are going to get back the Senate, and it's on to 2024.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One. Now, it's Red Eye Radio with talk about everything from politics to social issues and news of the day. Whether you're up late or just starting your day, welcome to the show. For Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, Dan Mandis. This is Red Eye Radio.
Appreciate you being here, and I always appreciate the opportunity to fill in for Gary and Eric here on Red Eye Radio. They will return next Sunday night, Monday morning. I saw this, and man, I'm just shaking my head. What is wrong with people? It's like there's certain people in this country who simply don't know how to survive. There's no other way to say this. They don't know how to cope. The headline from Fox Business. You ready? An employee has been fired after refusing to work over the Roe versus Wade ruling. He says, I am in mourning. So look. I know that everybody takes the right to life very seriously, whether it is the right to life, pro-choice, whatever your opinion is, but you've still got to carry out your responsibilities. See, I believe that for a lot of employers these days, they're getting just a little sick of this kind of narcissistic, inane behavior. A Universal Music Group employee said he was fired from his job for refusing to work after the Roe versus Wade court ruling overturned last month, and claimed the termination showed the company did not support its workers speaking out about abortion rights. Do you know that if I didn't work on the radio, the last thing I would do at my job is speak out on abortion rights, pro or con? Like, I just wouldn't do it. I'm here to do whatever it is that they pay me to do, and that's it. And you know what? I would feel the same way if this guy was pro-life. Yes, everybody has a right to say what they want to say, but this guy took it a step further. He literally refused to do his job because he just couldn't cope. Michael Lopez, a now former production coordinator at Universal Music Enterprises, attempted to shame the company in a LinkedIn post last week. These are his words, saying he is a queer brown person who was fired during Pride Month for speaking up in defense of abortion rights. Last Friday, he says, like countless other folks, I was devastated by the news of the Supreme Court's attack on abortion rights, paired with the flood of anti-queer and anti-trans legislation. He says it's been hard to process how companies expect us to be productive while our rights are being stripped away. So now apparently people on the left and people like this guy, they're going to use as an excuse court rulings to basically not work. Isn't that just the most incredible thing? But it's not really surprising in today's incredibly narcissistic society. See, this is what happens. This is what happens when you, quite frankly, let the inmates run the asylum. And we're seeing this kind of thing all over America, where if a company, you know, as an entity, if you don't agree with your company, then your company should be attacked. Your company should be lambasted on social media. It should be criticized on social media. I have actually seen people call for boycotts of their own company, and then they whine when they get fired. Can I just ask, what happened to, you know, going in, doing your gig, punching your clock, punching your card, whatever it is, and going home? I mean, unless you work in this kind of a politically driven kind of a environment, nobody wants to hear it. He said that every Friday, one of his tasks was to process reports for upcoming releases. And he would then have to email his work to a list of 275 people. But after the court's ruling, this dude decided not to complete the task and emailed his coworkers, letting them know. He says, I didn't do them today. In the email acknowledging his neglected work, he says, I'm in mourning due to the attack on people with uteruses in the U.S. Federally guaranteed access to abortion is gone. Why couldn't he just say women? People with uteruses. See, this is the insanity of this kind of person. He then goes on to say, Vivendi and Universal Music Group must stop donating to anti-abortion, anti-queer, and anti-trans politicians, he wrote. Politicians like Tennessee Senator Marsha Blackburn, Ken Buck, Victoria Spartz, etc. He says, or expect more unproductive days. Really? He says, yours in fury, Michael Lopez. Mm-hmm. So if I'm Michael Lopez's boss, and I'm reading this, and he basically is saying that his production and how productive he is tied to abortion rights and other legislation going on right now in Washington, D.C. I'm going to fire him. I will absolutely fire him because he is openly acknowledging and saying, I'm not going to do my work. I may just get upset over whatever it might be. You know what? Every day there's something that you're upset about and I'm upset about. I'm upset over high gas prices. I'm upset over inflation. I'm upset over all these people coming across our southern border. I'm upset at billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars going to Ukraine and nobody knows where the hell it's going. You see, I'm angry about a lot of stuff too. Doesn't mean that I can't do my job, and it doesn't mean that he shouldn't do his job. But you see, this is the narcissism of the younger generation. Lopez wrote in the LinkedIn post that he received some supportive messages from other coworkers after he sent the email, and that a manager called him to take the rest of the day off. He added that he believed that there was a good possibility he would be fired based on the response he received from management. No, really? He said he received a surprise Zoom video chat with HR the following Monday. I was being let go for, paraphrasing, not doing your job, disrupting the day of 275 people, and poor judgment. You think he had poor judgment? Yeah, I think he had poor judgment. Lopez said he would then send a follow-up email to the one that he had previously sent to coworkers informing them of his termination. just got fired for this email from Friday. So they're letting you know where they stand on employees speaking out on politicians that support marginalization for folks like me, he wrote in the email. He keeps going on with this. A brown queer person terminated during Pride Month speaking in support of abortion rights. Seems like that's exactly what America is all about right now. He concluded that his LinkedIn post, he concluded his LinkedIn post by saying he did not speak for his company, but for himself and employees who will suffer under these discriminatory laws. They're not discriminating against him because of his opinion. They're discriminating against him because he, as they said, disrupted the workday of 275 other people, and he is refusing to do his job. He also said that his work stoppage was going to continue if there was going to be more of, you know, conservative type rulings. Their actions today, he says, their actions today, their silence on Friday are indicative of their motivations, Lopez wrote of his former employer. Profit at all costs. Solidarity only if it's profitable. And above all of that is maintaining the status quo and saying blank you to the working class. Okay. I wonder how easily this dude's going to get another job. You know what I mean? It can't just be me, right? He wasn't fired for speaking out. No, he was fired because he didn't do his job, and that's the bottom line. Let's see, what is Universal Music Group? What do they say for themselves? Universal Music Group spokesperson telling the New York Post that company policy prohibits them from discussing Lopez's personnel record, but that the allegations in the LinkedIn post are inaccurate. UMG has a long record of support for women's issues, the spokesperson said. As we wrote to our U.S. employees in the wake of the recent U.S. Supreme Court ruling overturning Roe v. Wade, the company has extended its efforts to assure that these important health care services remain accessible to employees. We are also financially supporting nonprofit groups working in this area and offer a match for employees' contributions to those groups as well. So in other words, I mean, if they're, you know, donating to abortion rights groups and so forth, that is certainly their right. But this dude has it all wrong. But you see, again, this goes right back to the narcissism. I will say, I don't know how old this guy is. He looks younger, but the narcissism of the progressive left, where they can't seem to separate between their personal feelings and the fact that they've just got a job to do. And if they expect to keep their jobs, then they've got to continue to do their jobs and not telegraph that they don't care what their employer says. They're going to do whatever it is that they want to do. And if they happen to be upset over, you know, some court ruling, well, then the company is just going to have to deal with it. And neener, 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 I'm just not going to work. The real world certainly does not work that way. Not in the least. And Michael Lopez, again, I wish him luck in his future endeavors. 866-90-RED-EYE.
A symbol of a steadily increasing water shortage out west.
Lake Mead, which is behind Hoover Dam, we have seen water levels steadily dropping in recent years to the lowest level that we've seen since the dam was initially constructed in the 1930s.
USDA meteorologist Brad Rippey says factors include a distinct drought pattern since the U.S. Drought Monitor was established in 1979.
In the last two decades plus, we have seen about 3 out of 4 years on average from California California to the Southern Rockies as drought years. And with that string of drier than normal years, that has put a severe strain on Western water supplies.
Additional factors such as above average temperatures and diminishing soil moisture that has curbed mountain snowpack runoff, combined with the drought years, has left some of the West's largest reservoirs at record low levels, with Rippey noting no relief is in sight to improve Western water supply levels. I'm Rod Bain reporting for the U.S. Department of Agriculture in Washington, D.C.
The USDA report is brought to you by Cenex Roadmaster XL Premium Highway Diesel Fuel.
Lines open for your calls. 866-90-RED-EYE on Red Eye Radio.
Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE, 866-907-3339. Dan Mandis in for Gary and Eric. Well, this is certainly bad news for Biden, because we all know that elections, they're swung in either direction by independents, right? We all know that. This is from Breitbart. Only 18% of independents approve of Joe Biden's job performance. That is catastrophically bad. 18%. They say the president is severely underwater with independents, according to the rolling job approval averages that they found. They say only 18% of independents approve of Biden's job performance, 68% disapprove, and 13% are completely clueless because they neither approve nor disapprove. According to the, I don't know what this is, CIVIQS, civics average as of July 3rd. I mean, listen, everywhere you go, I actually have this joke on my show when I host locally here in Nashville for the morning show on WTN, that every day I could fill an entire hour with polling, but we all know what the polling shows. So I don't have to go over this every single day, because we all know, we live through Biden's abysmal polling. I mean, for him, it's just a number. And will he or not either run for reelected, or will he actually be reelected if he decides to run? But for us, for the American people, on this July 5th, it is a matter of whether or not we can pay our bills, whether we can pay our babysitters, we can make our car note or pay our mortgage, fill up our gas tank. It goes on, and everywhere you turn, the prices are getting higher. So, yeah, the president is absolutely underwater. You know why the president is underwater? Because the rest of us are underwater. That's why the president's underwater. Breitbart writes, independents have been viewed as an increasingly strong and influential voting bloc, especially in more recent years, indicating that the president is in deep trouble, only 126 days away from the midterm election. They say leading up to the midterms, with the president's failing poll numbers, vulnerable Democrats who have aligned themselves with him have also struggled. Overall, the president is severely underwater as well. I don't know if there's even one thing that the president is doing well on. Is there? I mean, can you think of one thing? 866-90-RED-EYE. I got nothing. Like, I really don't. They say that Biden's job approval rating is down to the lowest of his presidency, I think it's the lowest of any presidency. They say he is down to 30% as of Saturday overall. On Monday, Biden was not only at his lowest approval rating to date, but also at his highest disapproval rating at 58%. They say furthermore, Biden is also underwater in 48 states, including typically dark blue California. You know where else? His home state of Delaware. The only places where Joe Biden seems to be doing kind of sort of well, Hawaii and Vermont. Now, we all know that Hawaii is crazy because they've got that Mazie Hirono. And we know that Vermont is nuts because they've got Bernie Sanders. So, yeah, not real surprising. They say Biden's overall net approval is at a negative 27. His lowest job approval is in West Virginia at 16%. Yeah, no wonder Joe Manchin is having a hard time agreeing with anything Biden does. I mean, everywhere you look and every week, every day that you look, Biden's numbers go down, 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 down. I mean, when you look at Hispanics, he is losing Hispanics. He is losing African-Americans, black folks. He's losing independents. It goes on and on. And so for Biden and the Democrats, they are in for, I don't know what you would call a, I think they're in for a MAGA shellacking. That's what they're going to get, a MAGA shellacking in November.
Phone lines are open. 1-866-907-3339. 866-90-RED-EYE. Now, for Gary McNamara and Eric Harley, here is Dan Mandis.
Appreciate you being here. And yes, indeed, I'm here this week. And Gary and Eric, they will be back Sunday night, Monday morning. Always appreciate the opportunity to fill in here on Red Eye Radio. Yeah, I was just going over some of this polling with Joe Biden and how he has just absolutely lost any and all hopes of getting the support of independents. But, you know, this isn't necessarily just about independents. I mean, when you look at everything that the president has done over the past, whatever it's been, a year and a half, 2 years now, I can't think of one thing that the president has done right. I mean, can you? Can you think of one thing that the president has done? I can't think of one. I mean, from not taking responsibility for the things that he has done, like the mistakes that he's made, to lying to the American people. I mean, don't even get me started on the whole Hunter Biden thing. So one of the things as we look ahead to the midterm elections, you know, one of the big topics of conversation in the last week or so was, will Joe Biden run for re-election? And that seems to be a very big conversation, a very big topic of conversation that is going on right now within the Democrat Party. Now, one of the things that I've always thought was really interesting is, okay, so let's say that the president decides that he is going to run. Hillary Clinton, I don't have the audio in front of me, but she said something last week that really triggered me. And I'm easily triggerable. You know why? Because I'm a talk show host. But she said, I'm going to vote for Joe Biden because he is a Democrat and he's a sitting president. What a silly question, she said. And I was so offended by that audio. And the reason I was so offended by that audio is because it completely dismisses what America has been going through since Joe Biden was sworn into office. And so when she said that, I thought, are you kidding me? Really? So you don't actually have your own mind. You're just going to sit here and just because he's the sitting president and just because he is a Democrat, that you will vote for a guy who has led us down the road of, you know, 8.6% inflation. He is constantly lying to the American people. He's, you know, going to be under investigation when the midterms roll around and the Republicans take over the House of Representatives and the Senate. Absolutely. he's going to be investigated. Why? Well, because of all of that nonsense with Hunter Biden. So, yeah, I think that for Joe Biden, he does need to think twice about whether or not he should be running again, because there's a lot of Democrats who, frankly, the whispers, as they say, the whispers are becoming screams. And no, they don't want him to run again. And I think that's one of the questions that the Democrats have to ask themselves. If you're unwilling, because that's one of the big topics of conversation, which is, are you willing to have the president campaign with you out on the campaign trail? And you have all of these, Democrats that are saying, yeah, no, we don't really need him to run with us. No. The campaign is about me. The campaign is not about the president. And so it's pretty funny if you think about it, because you have the Democrats who they don't even want Joe Biden to run with them or campaign with them on the campaign trail. Yet they're willing to say, OK, well, we'll endorse you for president of the United States. It's crazy. But see, this really is the state of the Democrat Party right now. And for the life of me, I don't understand why it is that they don't see what the rest of us do. I mean, just the other day, right? Just sitting here riffing off of all of the things that Joe Biden has screwed up. And this story, I mean, unfortunately, it's a very important story, but it really, came and went pretty quickly. The migrants that were killed in the back of that semi. What was the final toll on that? Was it 53? I think 53 migrants were killed in the back of that semi. And you had a number of other people, dozens that were hospitalized as well. And so the president was asked about it. I'm going to play you this audio. Maybe you've heard of this. Maybe you've heard this audio already. I'm not sure. But, the president had this to say about those migrants that were killed in the back of that semi.
Well, thank you for your hospitality. Thank you. It's unmatched.
And he turned and he walked away. He had nothing to say about those migrants. Now, here's the reason why. He had nothing to say. And then eventually he finally came around and he said something, but it really was of little significance. The reason why the president has nothing to say about those migrants or about illegal immigration is because he knows full well that it's his policies that have invited this. And so when the Democrats say, yeah, no, we don't really want Joe Biden to campaign with us. The campaign is about us. It's my name on the marquee, not the president's. It's because they know that right now the president is not someone who is going to help them in the election. There's no other way to say it. I mean, as Joe Biden is refusing, once again, by the way, refusing to acknowledge his role in all of those migrants that were killed in the back of that semi because of his policies encouraging this kind of dangerous, illegal behavior where these coyotes, these human smugglers are cramming all of these people in the back of this semi. No air conditioning, no way out. And those poor people are basically microwaved to death, baked to death. And Biden encouraged this kind of behavior. And so that's why the president turns and walks away, because he knows that the numbers are bad. The number of illegal aliens that are coming into this country are bad. The way that he treated those Border Patrol agents who were accused of whipping those Haitians when they never did. Now he's going to punish them. That looks really bad as well. And you know who knows that this looks really bad? Joe Scarborough, the guy from Morning Joe.
This is something that Democrats need to get their arms around. We have to have laws at the border that can be both humane, but also that can support legal, safe immigration, sending a message to poor, underdeveloped countries. If you risk your life, if you risk your children's life, if you risk your family's life, you just may get into the United States. There's nothing progressive about that message. There's nothing humanitarian about that message. We've got to do a better job along the border.
He is absolutely right. And most voters say, this was from Rasmussen just a few days ago, you know, when all of this was going on, most voters say, yeah, you know what? Illegal immigration, it is getting worse. It's not getting better. And so I don't know who Biden is trying to fool. But the sad thing is that not only are the American people suffering the consequences of all of this illegal immigration, but the illegal immigrants themselves are also feeling the effects of these illegal aliens coming into our country. The illegal aliens, they're dying in the middle of the desert or in the back of these trucks, etc. But don't get me wrong, a lot of them are still making their way into our country illegally as well. Now, Joe Scarborough over there on MSNBC, he was interviewing a woman from the BBC by the name of Katie Kay. Here's what she had to say, and she agrees with Scarborough.
And many actually talking about the tragedy of the situation of women getting raped as they come across, of children getting separated from their parents, of children getting raped as they come across, of the people smugglers really taking advantage of what is seen as an open door policy. And the message gets back very fast from people from, you know, the U.S. to other countries that at the moment it's easier to get in, which seems to be why we are seeing more people coming across. And it's going to take more than Kamala Harris going to the what are known as the triangle countries, the countries that send that from where most of these people are coming, because she went and she said the messages don't come to the states. Nobody seems to have heard that message and they're still coming. And right. You're right, Joe. The administration has to do something about this.
Well, but we're how many days now are we beyond the that tragedy with those 53 illegal aliens killed in the back of that truck? And what has Biden done? What have the Democrats done? Nothing. They continue to encourage it. And it is becoming abundantly clear that the Biden administration, not only are they losing, you know, because remember the origin of this segment, the origin of this segment is the Biden administration is underwater everywhere and with everything. So no matter the policy, no matter the demographic, no matter the genre, if you will, Joe Biden is losing support. I mean, I just played you audio from MSNBC. And they are the biggest leftists on the TV. Willie Geist is also on MSNBC. And he also believes that Biden has been catastrophically wrong on a lot of things.
We've talked about this with progressive pollsters, by the way, who say this idea that Latino voters in America are all in and they have this open mind and they'll go with Democrats wherever they go on immigration is just wrong. It's just folly, and it's not true, and it's patronizing in many ways to make those assumptions. So yeah, Democrats will have to reassess, because some of them may not want to use the word crisis, but it's exactly what it is down along the border when you have Customs and Border Patrol having 7,000, 8,000 encounters and apprehensions a day on the border. That is a crisis.
Yeah. Now, will the Biden administration admit that it's a crisis? By the way, I forgot to mention one thing. I was playing this audio from this woman from the BBC, Katie Kay, and I should have pointed this out, but I didn't, and maybe you picked up on it.
And many actually talking about the tragedy of the situation of women getting raped as they come across, of children getting separated from their parents, of children getting raped as they come across.
So she's talking about women and children getting raped by other migrants also coming into this country. So who are these people that we're letting into our country that are raping women and children? See, that also is incredibly horrific. This is why the president continues to lose numbers. He continues to lose support amongst many different demographics, because everything he does turns out to be the wrong move. And the American people know it. And the polling shows it. 866-90-RED-EYE. It's 866-907-3339.
Get in touch with Red Eye Radio, toll free at 866-90-RED-EYE.
It is Red Eye Radio, 866-90-RED-EYE. I want to say hello very quickly to Mary in Madison, Alabama. Thanks for calling, Mary. Go ahead.
Good morning. I am just, they're very good at lying and corruption. And the thing that I don't understand that's going on right now is all you guys on the radio are kind of sarcastic and laughing about it. And they really do not care any more about us as Americans than they do the migrants coming in, the illegal creeps that are coming in that we do not know what they're all about. They don't care at all about any of us.
Well, Mary, let me tell you something.
I saw a World War II veteran yesterday crying when they told him how low the patriotism in our country is. That patriotism number is not that low. What they're doing is trying to drive us down while our hearts and our patriotism keep rising up.
What's interesting, Mary, is that as far as yours truly goes, I've never felt more patriotic because I know that while America is having a hard time right now, clearly because of the president, I also know that we've got a lot better times ahead. Very quickly, Larry, I've got like 25 seconds. Go ahead. Thanks for calling in, Larry. Go ahead.
Good afternoon. I'm about 40 miles north or southwest of Highland Park. President Biden is doing an absolute perfect job of showing how to destroy a political party in less than 2 years.
You know what? Larry, I couldn't have said it better myself. I wish I would have. Thank you, Larry, very much, and appreciate everybody calling in. You can always hear me, Dan Mandis, on Super Talk 99.7 WTN in Nashville, Tennessee. I host a morning show, and you can listen to that at 99.7WTN.com.
This is Red Eye Radio on Westwood One.